Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
So who is Andy Pudding? Stay tuned to find out now.
Okay, so today we're here with Andy Pudding.
That's right.
Andy, is that Andy Pudding? Is that your real name?
It's not, no, it's just my stage name. But I just wanted to choose something funny that the English could retain, and the French as well, because I think pudding has a lot of meaning, doesn't it, for both the French and the English.
Yeah, I saw your show last week.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It was really funny.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself then?
Well, I'm from Liverpool, near Liverpool. I'm from a place called, quite a posh place really, called the Wirral. And
Kirby?
Yes, not far from there. It's a place called Bebington.
Okay.
Bebington. And I lived there for, 27 years. And I did languages. I studied languages there, French and Spanish. And then after a while, I just decided that I didn't want to become a French or a Spanish teacher after studying these languages, but I wanted to go to the countries and become an English teacher, because I kind of knew more about French and Spanish grammatically speaking than the languages. And I thought, well, why don't I become an English teacher and find out all about the English language?
And that's what you do now?
That's what I do, yeah, kind of part-time really, mm-hmm. just a couple of days a week. I do a bit of English teaching at the university, and also in this professional training centre. Technical English, not very exciting really,
right.
but it's useful.
And you're also, Andy Pudding is a stage name as
yes.
a comedian.
Yes.
And is this your sort of dream to become a full-time comedian?
So. It's funny really, but my real dream was to become a jazz musician. I'm a jazz guitarist. I love it, I'm absolutely mad about jazz. And I play a lot, but I don't know what it is. I suppose it's just a question of time or I also had a problem in my shoulder. I couldn't play for a few years, but I've managed to get over that problem.
And do you play in a band now?
Not really, no, because when you play jazz, you've got to have a really high level, yeah? And my level is not as high as I'd like it to be. But then I just I was playing the guitar and I started playing songs and I started writing funny lyrics. And I thought, why don't I do this? I could try and maybe do a bit of stand-up and do funny songs. So it all came about like that, really, yeah.
And how long have you been doing that?
About 5 years.
Okay.
I started writing about 6 or 7 years ago, and I didn't really have the bottle to do it. And then I got up the courage and one day saw this, and I started to test out stuff. And I was probably about 8 times out of 10 right about what worked. I still had to go back and work on my material and work on my songs and everything. And yeah, it just came about like that really. So yeah, about I've actually been performing professionally, if I can call it professionally, for about 3 years.
Okay, and do you write all your own stuff?
Yes, sometimes people give me ideas. Oh, you can use this joke, what do you mm-hmm. think about this one? And I think to myself, occasionally I'll take something that someone said to me and I'll transform it into something a bit better. But most of it's my own. Well, it's all my own stuff, but sometimes it's things that I overhear from people, and I think, I could use that. And then again, I change it around and it becomes, set up a punchline, a joke.
Yeah, but a lot of it, I know from your show that I went to see, which was called Mad in France, I think.
Yeah. Mad in France, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it sounded like it came from first-hand experiences.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I can actually relate to a lot of this myself.
Yeah,
having lived in France.
That's about the idea about being a foreigner in France. I thought there's such a lot of material, and I did. Before I became a stand-up, I was often in some kind of dinner party or somewhere, and people would just start asking me about. This is in England. Oh, what's it like living in France? They tell me about it, and I tell stories.
What the French like?
Yeah, what the French like? This, that, and the other. And I just come out with stories, and they were laughing. And also, when I was teaching, sometimes I tell stories, and I could see that the kids were laughing.
Yeah.
And I thought, maybe I should do this for a living. But often they were laughing because they weren't doing any work.
Okay, right.
Keep the teacher talking.
Yeah,
that's
keep
nice. Them talking. That's always a good line from the students, isn't it? To kind of distract the teacher. Yeah.
So I never knew if I was really funny or they were just laughing because they could get out of working, you know.
So, as Chris said, asked you, you know, that you can write your own material, but why did you choose to do stand-up? I mean, stand-up is like the most nerve-wracking comedy thing.
It is, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Have you got, like, nerves of steel, or...?
No, not at all, no. When, as I said before to Chris, you know, I was writing for about, you know, maybe more, you know, at least 2 years of writing stuff, and I just didn't have the bottle to do it. And the first ever gig was so nerve-wracking. And I still do it now, I still have like a bowler hat and a suit. But when I went up on stage and I looked at the audience, I thought, they all know me, you know, and I'm trying to come across as this sort of bumbling Englishman who can't really speak French.
Yeah.
But they all know, oh, Andy, you know, he speaks really good French and everything. And I had to come up and I thought, they all know me and I'm really vulnerable and look, I can't hide behind this character.
And so it was actually people you knew in the audience?
Well, the first few times, you know, it's always people that you know when you do stand-up, so which doesn't help matters, because when you look into the audience and you think, there's Robert, and there's Peter, oh God, you know. Because if it goes all wrong, they'll come up to you and shake your hand and say, well, you did your best, you know.
Oh, that's a real put-down, isn't it?
It mustn't be easy, stuff like that.
And in fact, I was looking at some of your gigs on YouTube, one of the best lines was, you can tell someone's French in your gig because they're not laughing.
Yes.
So what's the difference then between French humour, do you think, and English humour? This is a kind of job interview question.
Yes.
So what do you think?
I've tried to answer this question many times, but for me, I do think that the English are not really that worried about making a fool of themselves. You know, we love sort of dressing up and looking stupid. Yeah, there's a point to it. There's an we don't want to look too stupid. But the French seem to be very self-conscious about, they want to look cool, or they definitely don't want to look stupid. Now, fancy dress parties in England are big. Here, they're not so big.
Yeah.
But there are exceptions, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's my so.
But like in terms of jokes, I mean, what I mean.
So that what I mean by that is that, what I mean by that is irony. It's very you know, a lot of my jokes are about making fun of myself, you know. And there's a word for that in English. What do you call that? I guess
self-deprecation.
It's very self-deprecating. The humour I use. Whereas in France, not so much. Yeah, especially with stand-up, a lot of French comedians are coming across as being cool, like in American comedy, but British comedy, which is what I come from, you know, is very self-deprecating. So I think that's, to answer your question, that's one of the main reasons.
Okay, and so what's your kind of opening line as a stand-up comedian? How do you connect immediately with your audience?
I'd go on with like a sort of a pint glass with beer in it, and I'd start speaking with a really strong English accent. And I say things like tout le monde, and bienvenue à mon spectacle.
Oh yeah.
So
but you also have an introduction, don't you, with a woman with a very strong English accent as well, if
that's
I remember right.
Yeah. She says like, you know, welcome to the show, and she's speaking in French.
Yeah, yeah.
Avec un accent très très fort.
Yeah.
So that's, and she speaks very, very good French, obviously, but I said really, you know, exaggerate the French. Voudriez-vous, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that changes their expectations. Because in fact, I'll be honest with you, when the first 5 minutes, I thought, oh, I'm going to go in a minute.
Really?
Straight up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that based on then?
Well, I think it was, it seemed like you were not really, afterwards, you get into real situations.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I think you beat yourself up a bit too much.
Yeah.
And everybody knows, if you like, that persona.
Yeah,
of the English person that can't speak, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And I felt that maybe there was also, we spoke about this as well over the phone, the fact that you took a minute to warm up, which is normal. Yeah. But I think coupled with that, I thought, oh, this is not going to be good, you know.
Mm.
And in fact, I'm really glad I stayed because, you know, rapidly you got into it. It was excellent. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Well, that is the idea. The idea is that people think that, you know, I can't really speak French and I'm just this sort of like classic bumbling Englishman. And even the first song on the guitar is kind of musically a bit rubbish. It's all on purpose because I want to sort of show that, yes, I am integrated. I have learned to play the guitar. I have learned to speak French properly, yeah. And it was as well as I can.
It's funny you said that because I wasn't at the show, but I watched it on YouTube, and I said to myself, "My God, my accent is even better than yours."
Yeah.
In fact, you do speak very good French. And but are you working on any new material?
I am. Yeah, I've done a new show. I've done it about 3 or 4 times. It's not quite together yet. I did a disastrous gig the other day. But that's
what do you mean disastrous?
It just didn't really gel because I didn't really want to do it, you know, because I was really, really tired. And it was just about 3 days after the old gig that I know like the back of my hand. So this new gig, I don't know it so well, and it takes a long time to get the rhythm right and the structures. And also people said to me afterwards, yeah, we couldn't really sort of follow the thread. It's quite important that there's a thread. Fil rouge, as the French say, so that's got to come. It takes a long time to get a good show together.
I imagine, yeah.
It takes
a
couple of years, and you've got it. And the only way to do it is by performing it and honing it. You know, rewriting bits and pieces. You know, because I don't do just like, I'm not one of these stand-ups who, even though I appreciate the stand-up, like Jimmy Carr, who does like little jokes.
Which one? There are two.
Jimmy Carr, the comedian.
Which one? There are two.
Oh, there are two? Jimmy Carr. There's Alan Carr, isn't there? There's Alan Carr.
Oh, is it Alan Carr? Carr. Yeah. Okay.
Jimmy. Out the Carr brothers.
He's the one with the tax. Is it him? Didn't pay his tax or something like
that's Jimmy Carr, yeah.
That's Jimmy Carr.
He makes jokes like little clocks. You know, and they kind of like, they just kind of explode with laughter at the end. But there's no real sort of thread to it. There's no real story. It's just one joke after another.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that, but at the same time, I want it to be like a story.
Like a story,
as well.
Yeah.
Like in the show that
you saw. And it was. How do you prepare then for these shows? Do you do anything? Any preparing? Most performers would, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Apart from the writing, there's the rehearsing, which I hate.
No, I mean just before you get on stage.
I write like to the techniques, sort of anxiety, stress and stuff like that.
Mm.
Just walk around saying a few words and
drinking
beer. Probably. Yeah.
I don't drink before going on stage.
Because that was going to be a question for me, like singers warm up their voice. Do you do anything to warm yourself up?
I should do, really.
Yeah.
I saw this great, I think it was, a TED Talk. Some guy, I think his name's Julian Treasure or something, talking about these techniques of warming up your voice and what to do and what not to do before you start a presentation or whatever. And I thought, I should do that, you know.
But you don't.
I don't do anything.
But you thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought, I haven't actually reacted to it yet. No.
So how did you end up in France?
I said before, didn't I, about languages, I just didn't really want to end up being a French or a Spanish teacher. I thought, I speak these languages, I've got to go travelling, you know. I just didn't really want to stay in England, you know. Because of the weather, the food. I had lots of friends, but I don't know, I was just more attracted to a sort of, continental, exotic lifestyle.
Can you ever see yourself going back to England?
I can't, no.
No.
Do I have to?
Well, you
hopefully
never know.
Not.
Brexit. With the Brexit. Did you find Brexit funny? Is there any humour in Brexit?
Well, that's what the new show is about.
Oh.
So it's quite hard finding the funny in Brexit, but I managed to find. Don't ask me to quote any jokes because they're not in my head fully fledged yet. But there's some funny things in Brexit. There's something funny about it. Something terribly British about it. But it's a pretty dire, terrible idea, isn't it? You know.
I think it is. Yeah. We had a podcast about this
just
the day before the referendum, and nobody that we interviewed believed that it would happen.
Well, I didn't.
No.
I thought I was in a dream, and attuned into other British radio stations.
Yeah.
I thought, this is what's going on. Yeah. You know, I was on the computers ringing up people. It was just, you know, I was in a state of shock. Was it the same
year? Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
Very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah, I'd have betted against it, but. Yeah.
David Cameron was betting against it, wasn't he?
I'm sure he was, yeah.
That's why he did it.
Exactly.
Nobody would be that stupid.
No, no.
anyway, so to come back to the theme. So, when's your next show?
My next show is on the 10th of February. So that's, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
This is the Mad in France, yeah?
Yeah, Mad in France.
At the 57.
The proper show that's sort of like, up and running. fully honed show, yeah, with the songs and the sketches that you came to see.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably
the new show.
Go
there's
again.
There's no dates for the new show, but there is something else which is coming up on next Wednesday, the 7th of February, and that's an English comedy night, in English only.
Right.
It's called Funny Hour, and it's taking place at the Comédie de Toulouse. Well, it's in the bar actually. It's the L'Annexe de la Comédie de Toulouse, which is in the city centre, and that's an open mic night, so I'm hosting that. I'll be warming everybody up, I'll be the warm-up man and the guy.
So you're not going to do anything there apart from warming up?
When you warm them up, it's not just sort of, are you ready for the show?
Yeah. Are you
it's
happy?
It's not just that, yeah. You've got to tell a few jokes, get them into the, the spirit of things, and then I'll be introducing all the guests. And the guests, some of them, a few of them are professionals, but most of them are sort of having a stab at it for the first time, or the second or third time. So there's an American, a Welsh guy, another English person, a Greek, and a French.
Okay, guy. Excellent. Well, I mean, thanks very much for talking to us today, Andy. I'm going to try and get to that. The In English, please, for the 7th.
The Funny Hour.
I'd love to invite you back, maybe to go a little bit deeper into, your inspiration for some of your material, and how you're going to continue doing that. Maybe we could do a Facebook Live or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks very much, Andy.
Sounds great. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eflpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.